Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron. As always, we introduced this segment with Karanga by Taisha Tari. And, of course, in the studio, I've got Naranoa. Good morning.
Hi, atamari te whānau whānui. Looking forward to a beautiful day. We're moving through what is called whiro on the Māramataka and on all calendars who follow the moon cycle. So another cycle will manifest in a few hours, or there's a time frame which it comes back into our sight again through the movement of both the moon Marama and Tamanuitira, the sun.
So if Marama is the moon, Māramataka is.
Māramataka really makes reference to the way that the moon behaves in the sky.
Yeah.
Taka is the way that it. What's the English word? Is when something appears to waxing.
Waxing and waning.
Yeah, you know, you might say, well, what's that? Well, actually, nothing actually disappears. It's to do with the shadow and the light that is present on the surface of marama or hina, she has many names, but hina is a more commonly known name. Marama is also her name, because she's considered to be feminine. And then her cohort, who hangs out with her in the sky, in the rangi, the great rangi nui, is Tamanuitira, the solar logos, which is a very powerful presence of how we can live here, why we live on the earth. Because we've got oxygen from that occurrence and that happens in the sky, and many other things that happen. At this time of the year, however, we are looking at the presence of Puanga and Matariki in our skies, and how that impacts on us as people who live in the Southern Hemisphere, and what that presence means and signifies for us.
And we should probably say too, we've had the Matariki official public holiday last week, and a weekend of events, but we've still got events coming up this weekend, and Matariki is not restricted to that one day.
No,
is that you talk about it being a time.
A time frame is when something happens over a period of nights, which is what Matariki. Matariki doesn't just appear one night and then gone. That's not how the stars work.
Yeah.
All the constellations, all the clusters, they move in conjunction with the 12 houses of the zodiac. So we're now moving into the house of Leo, a fire energy, Mahuika, we call her, the goddess of fire. For 60 hours. It's about a 60-hour period of time that occurs, and then we move into another house. So we keep moving through these 12 houses as well. That's another layer for us to understand what's possible during that time, or what we should pay attention to. At the moment, I think it's a very important time for us to acknowledge how Māori understand those who have passed on to who have died during the past year, and how that transports into Taramai Nuku, who's the captain of a great waka that's in the sky, where you have the presence of Matariki at the tauihu, ihu meaning the nose, which is the front of the waka, this great sky waka, and then Tautoru, which is the belt of Orion, which is at the other end, the other end of the waka,
We're used to people who don't know much about astronomy, astrology, or that sort of thing. We're still used to the, you know, people looked in the sky and the constellation Leo was there and they saw a lion in that. And so what you're talking about is, as Māori people traditionally saw, a waka.
Oh, absolutely. That's the beauty of our imagery is that long... That we had nothing to do with Greek mythology when they arrived here.
Obviously not.
Yeah, so we saw through our indigenous eyes and we perceived... Or we saw them written as a calligraphy in the sky as a great waka. Mm. And then that waka had certain elements of mātauranga knowledge that we paid attention to give us the
waka is formed by, you've got Orion's belt.
Is that Matariki at the end? We know Orion, we're quite familiar with Orion, but it's also called Tauturu because of the three stars that make the belt of Orion.
And then the waka goes through to, is it Matariki?
Yes, and then there's Puanga, which is pulling the waka, because Puanga appears prior to Matariki, according to some of our iwi, which tribal groups around Aotearoa, who pay attention to that, to the sky, the night sky, and the stars. Mm.
Okay. So you're our... part of a group organising an event for Saturday.
I am.
22nd
of
July. And Ngā Rongoa a Matariki, or Matariki, the medicines of Matariki. And do you want to just tell us a bit about this? I see it starting, it's going from 3 till 9 on Saturday in the town hall.
Yes, I think we're backing on to a really beautiful kaupapa that's happening down at Papahua.
Yeah.
Which packs down at about 2.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to, you know, we open officially to the public at 3, whereby there will be an opening karakia to whakatau our gathering, and then we will proceed into the proceedings of the late afternoon evening. The rōpū that has grown significantly over this time are those who, within our own hapuri community, who will give their attention to different aspects of preparing the hall. We're in the Raglan Town Hall, people.
So. Yes, yeah. As you and I are right now.
And we might even burst out at the seams and have something outside during the time we're holding the event. So, you know, keep an eye on that. We're moving. And there'll be storytelling, a pūrākau specific to the indigenous understanding of Puanga and Matariki. We have the opportunity to learn a waiata, a Matariki waiata, that the desire is that over the years that before us, that it becomes part of our community, you know, back pocket, I call it, where we go, oh, we know that one, and we sing.
Yeah.
There's nothing like a community singing together. So we'll do that. We'll give that a go.
Yep.
Which, in that waiata, you'll learn the names of the children, the daughters, and the two sons of Matariki, which is also, a cool thing to know, and then to know... We'll learn a little bit about their personalities. So there's a rongoā making workshop, which is between 3 and 5:30. There's more detail that will come out later in the week regarding when that particular workshop is facilitated by myself. And the focus there is really on rongoā that's to do with... the winter months, how to support us during this time with the colder months. So one of the recipes that I'll share is a cough syrup that is primarily got kumarahau, the famous Kumaraho, I call it.
We've talked about Kumaraho.
We have.
Before, yeah.
Should be my middle name.
Oh, is that right? Is that significant?
Well, it's significant because of its goodness that it gives to our respiratory system. And the cough syrup is then also makes it more available to little people who might not, who won't enjoy, and I know lots of adults don't, the bitterness, the bitter taste of of having a straight shot of Kumaraho. And we'll also use the blackstrap molasses, which is a beautiful molasses, which also has, you know, high in iron. It's a very beautiful ingredient. And our honey, our local honey. So within the honey, you know, we've got the manuka and kanuka. So both of those not indigenous, but they're endemic to Aotearoa, the particular ones that we have around the Maunga. We've got a lot of beekeepers here too. Incredible.
Actually,
amount.
We do. Yeah, there's a bee club.
Yeah. It's a beautiful, I think it's a beautiful expression, really, that we have, and who are committed to authentic beekeeping practices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Reminding us of what not to do, as in the commercial world, you know, with feeding our bee population is so important to our well-being. We've got to look after them.
In so many ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the afternoon evening program.
Yeah, so there'll be some books available which are really about te reo Māori, New Zealand history, native plant medicine, books along that line. There'll be a bookstall there. We have someone who makes candles and things out of beeswax. Yeah, we'll be there. Not a huge number of stalls. That's not really what we're looking for. Just a very chilled approach, I call it, to our afternoon. The evening, we stop, pack down the stalls, 5:30, between 5:30 and 6:30, there's a kaitahi. What we're asking our hapuri community to do is when they come into the town hall is to offer a gold coin donation and or a matariki dish of kai.
Yeah.
With kai on it that can be placed into our kaitahi, which is also a significant practice around matariki, sharing our prosperity from the whenua, from the lands, through having this shared kai. But you will need to bring your own plate, spoon.
Well, this is very raglan to
well,
do that.
Well, you know, we're going to carry on being really raglan because other people just love it. When they see it, they go, really? And we go, yeah, really?
Lots of people at the Indian Cultural Night who bought their own plates and dishes and things, so people are well in the habit.
And we have, you know, lots of citrus around, so we'll be making a warm citrus, honey, probably ginger drink, making a warm one to make that available to our people who join us on that evening. So we've got some beautiful line up in the musical area. So Taonga Puoro, for those who have not been exposed to traditional Māori instruments, there'll be a segment there.
So after the kaitahi, 5:30 to 6:30, music performances start.
Well, the music will start really while people are eating, but we'll keep an eye on that so that there's not a whole rush to stop eating. We don't want to, as I say,
overlap.
We want it to be a very calm, peaceful gathering in some ways.
Right, so it's not like time's up for eating, everyone out with the plates, and in comes the band. It's not like that.
No, the band will be set up, and the the music sound is set up in the morning, so
yeah,
be more a thing of keeping people away from the mics, because I know there'll be people wanting to sing all day, which is awesome.
All right, so folks, the quick summary is that there's an afternoon evening program of workshop stalls, rongo making workshop, storytelling, singing a matariki waiata together, then the kaitahi, and then music afterwards. And music is traditional Māori instruments and conventional
vocalists
and a conventional bands.
Rangatahi. Yeah. Vibe them in.
So is this our friends in the Abstract Fish Lungs?
is that one of their names? That's there's several the, parts
well,
to
you've
this.
Been, you've been talking to Waiariki.
Well, Waiariki's mum, actually.
Yeah.
She's been trying to work out which group is available with the, you know, and honestly, I go, yeah, you work it out and you just tell us which one's available.
Okay. Well, it'd be
so awesome.
It could be Salty Jam. It could be Abstract Fish Lungs. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're definitely spoken about the vibe.
Okay, right. Okay, so they know the vibe that they're going for. Abstract Fish Lungs tend to rock the joint quite loudly, so that doesn't sound quite like...
Well, they may not be available, all of them, too,
yeah,
because I've got a feeling they're quite committed to different events, you know, but forward to having their presence.
They're hoping to get into the Rock Quest National Finals as Abstract Fish Lungs, so they're practicing pretty hard at the moment.
Rangatahi are definitely the key to our future, you know, our mokopuna and our rangatahi. We've just got to vibe them in, enjoy what they are expressing or just enjoy, I think.
And I have to apologise, I refer to you as one of the organisers of this event, but on here it says you are the creative artistic director.
Somebody called me that and I said, okay.
But you are definitely like, you're bringing the vision to this, and
I think I really enjoy the opportunity to work in such a creative way with the goodness of our hapuri community, and there's a lot of people out there who are connected, and so I'm holding those connections very close because of it's such a beautiful kotahitanga. We call it he waka eke noa. We're all on the waka together, you know. But if you get chucked off to the side, that's okay too. We'll pick you up at some point. I'm making a terrible joke here, whānau, but he waka eke noa,
yep,
is that we row this waka together for the time that we have to spend together, because we all go off and do many other things. But if this event can nourish us and nurture who you are and who your whānau is, then, you know, when you hop off it and return to your papakāinga, your haukāinga, to where you are based, hopefully you'll take some of that goodness that you got here from this gathering at the Raglan Town Hall.
Yes, here on the main street of Raglan.
I'm not complaining, because if it's raining, I'm all good to be inside.
Yeah, well, the weather has not been very reliable lately. Well,
reliable is a really good word. So we can rely, we can guarantee you will be dry.
Once you get in the hall.
Once you get in the hall. So nau mai, haere mai koutou mā. Beautiful. And the matariki mandala. The mandala is a word that, yes, it comes from Indian culture. It's more of the understanding would be around, you know, certain practices. Why we have chosen that is for the inspiration to be towards creating a beautiful nature-inspired drawing. Yeah, drawing. Yeah, and see how big it can grow by people bringing a sprig of a native plant, something from their māra that reminds them of someone that's passed in the last year, that they can place within this matariki mandala or matariki skywalker. It could easily take the shape of a skywalker.
So this is going to be in the form of
Absolutely.
A large sheet, maybe a large sheet of paper underneath, and there's drawing and there's items.
Yeah, we leave that to the community to evolve this collective painting of nature's offerings.
Okay, and if they forget to bring something, can they contribute to the mandala?
Yeah, don't forget to bring, you know, a sprig of something, a putty putty, a flower, a crystal. You may choose to bring a crystal as well. There are, it's not limited to plant world. There's you may want to offer a feather, a hoodoo hoodoo, or some feathers to this community painting, earth painting. It's going to be so exciting. I'm just so looking forward to the creation. I know, and I've seen the magic that in ceremonial gatherings where I've been led, that how this unfolds, and it's just beautiful.
So it's called Ngā Rangoa or Matariki, which translates the medicines of Matariki. When we use the word medicine, we're talking specific physical medicines, or are you talking about Matariki being a medicine of another kind, like a spiritual medicine, for want of a better word? I can't think of anything
else
to use.
Yeah, the word that comes to mind is the kupu is hotapu, so the sacred breath, which is a way of ceremonially invoking the presence of Matariki through ceremony, and that's done really in an indigenous way. It's also led by the wahine, the woman, because only the woman's voice holds the connection to what we call, in this way, who calls into the spirit world of that spiritual aspect first and foremost, and then the added kai kōrero, the mihi mihi of the male masculine voice, who also, you know, balances that ceremonial offering. And it's, I hear that word a lot now, called hautapu, which is a very specific ceremonial, ancient ceremonial practice, which is being brought back to remind us that we are more than the physical body, and that Matariki has a very significant place in our cosmology, in our world. And we're paying homage, yes, that is true, but we are not it's not the same as like in India you have many deities which they're constantly you know, have a little temple devoted to those gods and goddesses. That's not how we practice here in Aotearoa as an indigenous people, because the spiritual well-being is always moving, constantly moving through a timeless space. So we don't hold anything, crystallize it. That's a good word. We don't crystallize it.
Okay.
I'm
not sure. I don't know if I fully understand, but...
we don't set it in concrete. You know, next year the hotapu will have a similar feel, but it will be appropriate for that time, that year.
Continually evolving.
Continually.
Yeah.
And that's really important. So we're not crystallizing it.
Yeah.
We keep it really alive, a living part of our beingness as humans.
Mm.
And all the other parts of the living world.
Yeah, I look at the traditional spiritual practices of European culture, and they became crystallized and then almost legalized, and for generations from the baby boomer generation onward, that became hollow practices?
I think they became
empty rituals.
Very political, actually, and they began to as they do right now. You know, they're huge political practices around the world in countries led by a spiritual understanding that was never meant to be. That was never ever meant to be the way that spirituality and wairuatanga was to evolve, crystallize something so that that's the way it is. That's too black and white, and black and white is very dangerous. Yes, there's our perception, Indigenous perception, from what my understanding is that we have both light and dark. We call it light and dark, but that's not black and white. They're very different fields or cosmological understandings. But if you set something in concrete, like, Catholicism, fundamentalist Catholicism, you set it in concrete so it can't move, can't move, and the deity can't move and can't breathe. That's my experience, and it's very personal, and I think it's not what I would call a healthy way of moving for the human family. It's proven to be an extraordinarily... it's got millions of people follow those practices.
Yeah.
Millions.
It became a tool of power.
It's an extremely...
Which is like you say, is not what the original spiritual intention was.
It's never meant to be this political.
Yeah.
No. It's a very wealthy, extremely wealthy as well. You know, they have... Well, if we talk about wealth, you know, you just need to look at some of the main churches of the fundamentalist Christian groups.
That's because wealth and power, it all got involved at some point, or wealth and power worked out that they could co-opt the stuff that was important to the people at that time.
Yeah, we really need to, you know, look back to some of the Indigenous wisdom that was expressed during that, what we call that period of contact with the West by Indigenous peoples. You know, the American Indian people have some extraordinary understandings of your wealth is really your land, your whenua. And so what was the first thing they lost was not only their children, because their children became educated within Western understandings, was the whenua, the land. Mm. And the land was everything to us, and still is, but not in the same way. It didn't have an economic value. It had a value that was far beyond buying and selling.
Mm. But the economic value was also important in the world that became, in the colonized world.
Yeah, and that was the challenge for us that has not been balanced back. We still, never mind being homeless, we're landless.
Yeah.
Homeless and landless, what's the difference? It's a very powerful tohu to us during this time that there's so much land, there's so much whenua, and people are homeless. It doesn't make sense in this beautiful country that's so, that it's like that.
Mm. And yet we all feel like we can't do anything about it.
I guess we do.
There is 100%, but there is... It was quite clear that most people in this country feel like they can't do anything about it because nothing has been done about it except small little things.
Well, one of the things, you do is you put it out of sight. So you house people over COVID, they put them all into hotels, and they're still there in those hotels and motels.
Well, homeless people are also back, though. Like, we have homeless people again in Raglan.
I think homeless people homeless is an American word that we've adopted. I think America definitely led.
They led the way.
They led the way. Yeah, I mean, they've got probably millions of people who are on the streets.
What would you use?
We're landless.
Yes,
those people are landless.
Because if they had land, they would go to their land if they lost
their
home.
They could lie under a tree. They could be nourished by whenua. I'm not talking about on the physical sense. I'm talking about the way that we are so-called people who have no place to put their head at night are on the streets.
The irony is, I do know of a few Māori people who have lost their house in Raglan for rental and have had family land that they could go to, whereas the Pākehā people, there are both Māori and Pākehā people who are homeless, but
it's not specific to Indigenous.
The idea of family land doesn't really exist much in Pākehā culture. It's starting to come back as families look at the future for their children and their grandchildren and go, we need to do something.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking of Pākehā people I know and who are homeless here, and I'm thinking they must have parents and they must have family. Like, why has that connection been lost so much?
I think
that they can't go back there.
Yeah, well, I've just been part of contracted into a beautiful kaupapa called Marae in the Sky.
Yeah.
Now, the Marae in the Sky was actually a very specific place in the heart, in the CBD of Auckland back in the 90s, where this rainbow community rented the top floor of a building.
Yeah.
And the community that was created and vibed out of there was from the Four Winds. Like, they came from every tribe to participate. So Marae in the Sky was a significant place of being, and it nurtured and it fed people on so many different levels. But it wasn't based on whether you had land or not. You would go there because you just wanted to be part of that even to be there, you know. So it was but the Marae in the Sky that I was part of was a performance situation at the Auckland Art Gallery with Tane Mete Taisha Tari,
yes, who we played at earlier,
and Piu. I can't remember her surname. I'm sorry, Piu, for that I can't. Your surname, and Josh, who was the composer, and Rose Whitehead, who was the costume designer. And that was to express exactly that there was this understanding spiritually that the Marae was in the sky. It wasn't on the ground.
And it was, but one of the reasons for its existence was a place for people to go who didn't have a place? Or?
No, it was actually the rainbow community. That was where they lived. And they all had the actual people who lived there had significant positions in workplaces. So they were very political work. Environments that they were already in, so they could also bring that back to their where they lived. But the many visitors that came from all over the motu were partaking of their wisdom and understanding, you know, that they were safe there. They did fundraising.
So that is kind of similar. It's like it is creating a place for their community.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It's
not specific to land or family, but specific to their mutual needs.
Understanding, really, a deeper part of the human need for community and providing food. 6:30 in the every evening, you were expected to, if you were in the neighbourhood, to come and eat. A meal was served and you sat down and you ate together, and that was a practice, a tikanga that was practiced there, but you could stay overnight too. Or you could stay in this. I'm still unfolding that particular story, which is to me a truly incredible part of our history in the CBD of Tāmaki Makaurau.
Can I ask you a question about something back to Matariki that's going to happen, because Matariki comes from it's not a holiday, right? We can't call it a traditional holiday because it's something else, but it comes from Māori culture, and now it has become, it's been placed in the mainstream by being given a public holiday, and I think lots of people were keen for that to happen, but now Matariki may get watered down or mixed in with modern culture, and I think I think you would be someone who'd like to see parts of Maori culture change mainstream culture in Aotearoa for the better. But is Matariki going to become changed for the worse by being introduced into our Western culture that dominates the country? Like, I think there's a big debate being had there at the moment about that.
I probably have to say that from where I'm sitting and the conversations that I participate in, that there's actually not very much knowledge around who Matariki is, just let alone do anything else. People actually don't know the names of the stars. They don't understand, you know. So we've got to do all the groundwork, and that will take a few years. Because it's to do with cosmology, and it's not like the king's birthday, you know. We know what that means. This we don't know yet, because we're still unfolding the knowledge and the wisdom knowledge behind Matariki. And as a public holiday, it presents an opportunity for us to debate, because it's indigenous. It's the first of its kind. There is no other publicly indigenous public holiday that signifies something of this nature in the world. That's pretty cool that we've managed to actually get that far in our thinking, that we've done that, because everything else is around usually Christian practices, and people will rethink. I think they think, oh, makes sense to have reflective time in the winter, and it's not winter. The winter here is not, I mean, people used to call it a Christmas winter dinner. What's that about? That's Northern Hemisphere practice.
Well, that was an attempt to have a bit of something happen in the middle of the year, I guess. But so your feeling at the moment is that education is really important, because you could see people going, oh, I'm going to have a Matariki themed party.
Yeah, there's no way we've got anywhere close to being able to have a conversation across the kitchen table and actually understand who Matariki is, what Matariki is about. What do we do for Matariki? That's all coming, will come over the years as they unfold and as education in that area is taken on board. And significant tohunga and elders are called in to share that mātauranga.
I think from talking to you over the last few years about Matariki, I feel like if I had to say one thing about it, and you'll probably need to correct me in some way, but I think the significant thing from my perspective is it's about stopping, pausing, and review is the wrong word, but looking back over the past year, not just
pumahara. We call it pumahara, reflection.
Yeah, not
so
just
to
trying
remember.
Not just trying to grind our way through till we get to the other end of the year, you know, 6 months' time.
It's part of a natural cycle. That's its beauty. It's quite natural for humans. Yeah. You watch the animals, our beautiful pets, you know, the way they behave. They sleep longer. They don't get up, you know, because there's less light. It's time to hibernate. So they're teaching us as well. But yeah, we're up for some good lessons around a natural cycle in the winter months.
Yeah.
And what that proposes for us to reflect on. Reflection is something we're not very good at, and we're asking ourselves to do this as a community, as a hapuri.
Yeah.
Because it's good for us. Remember the names of people who have passed. You know, we might actually forget them. Like, oh gosh, Auntie only passed 9 months ago. Auntie who? It's good. It's good. It jogs us to remember, pumahara, to reflect.
So maybe time to put the phone down, close the laptop lid, and slow the brain down a bit too, maybe.
Oh, well, to reconnect.
Yeah, and that's I think you have to do those things, get rid of the devices, slow the brain down, and then you're ready for what you're
slow
talking about.
Slow the neurons down, you reckon?
Yeah, reconnect and
yeah,
and
the
reflect.
Neurologically, it's a wonderful opportunity. That's one of the medicines. That's the medicine of Matariki,
yeah.
Is to teach us that to be calm, tranquil. You know, the constellation is giving us, offering us many ways to move forward that we forgot. We've forgotten. We forgot what we forgot to remember.
Interesting phrase. There's a glint in Ngaruna's eye when she said that to me. We forgot to remember. So this discussion did start off talking about the event this weekend. There's more than one Matariki event, but the one that Ngaruna is creative artistic director for, according to this poster. The Medicines of Matariki, Ngaruna or Matariki. Saturday, 3 o'clock. I'm doing from my memory, yes.
Yeah. Nice time of the day.
Here in the town hall.
To come in and see what's going on.
And why should people come? Tell us why we should come to this.
Because it's in our town hall, which is cool.
Yeah.
I've never actually led or directed an event in our town hall, which I'm really, really, you know, looking forward to. It's happening right now. The conversation is very rich with the people who are offering their support and tautoko for this kaupapa to unfold. And I have a belief in that we strengthen community by this type of offering.
Yeah.
So really, yeah, that's why we should come together. Simply just come together. Because you know what? I can tell you this community, once they get together, they just talk. They just sit and they love to share. They just love to talk about, like, and so if the room buzzes with kōrero about, like, oh, look, you know, this person's here, and you have conversations in the room, that's got to be good for us. We would like to have a fire. We can't.
Inside the town hall. That'll be the end of the wooden floor, the beautiful wooden floor.
But watch the space. It won't. No, we're not going to do it inside the town hall, but
there's a possibility of something. Okay, we'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
And just to summarise, people, in the afternoon, evening, between 3 and 5:30, there's workshops and stalls, rongoa making workshops, storytelling, purako. Learn a Matariki waiata together. Then from 5:30 to 6:30, kaitahi. Bring some food if you can. Bring some a bowl, a spoon, a cup. And from 6 to 8:30, music performances, including taonga puoro, traditional Māori instruments and vocalists and local bands. So lots happening.
Lots.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, thank you for coming in this morning.
Kia ora.
Any last thoughts to leave us with?
Oh, no, just you know, come along. If you've got time, please, and bring your whānau, especially the mokopuna. Yeah. Especially the little one, the little people.
Thank you for coming in.
Kia ora.